Welcome to another episode of Side Hustle City, the podcast that helps you turn your side hustle into your main hustle, with your hosts, Adam Kaler and Kyle Stevie. Welcome back, everybody. Kyle Stevie, Adam Kaler with Nick Vassat. Today on the Side Hustle City podcast. So we're excited to have Nick here today. If you're listening via podcast software, you probably can't see he's wearing a University of Cincinnati sweater, which is awesome because right now they're ranked 7th in the NCAA playoff rankings for football, which is not something Cincinnati's typically been good at over the years. It's mostly basketball, but we're really excited around here about that. And Nick joins us, and he's obviously excited about that as well because he's rocking the sweater today. So welcome, Nick.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And, yeah, UC absolutely crushing it right now. Last I checked, I think last week they were still undefeated. So,
Yeah, undefeated. Despite the fact they're undefeated, we could get passed up in the playoff by two lost teams.
Join a conference.
Well, I know. We need to join a conference. Man, we're real close to the Big 12, but ESPN kind of screwed us out of that. They didn't want to pay the money to the Big 12, so they were like, here, we'll give you this money instead.
Without a conference, you guys are in deep, deep crap.
Yeah, but the American Conference is getting better. I would say the American Conference is pretty solid. UCF, South Florida, Houston, solid schools. So, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, it's awesome to talk athletics because we can transition
right into what he's doing.
Because this is going to be completely different than what we've been doing. This is number 14, recorded on my wife's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, Allison. She listens to all of them.
Oh, wow. And you're here with me instead.
Well, I'll be there later.
You better buy her something nice.
I need money. But normally we're talking to business owners and we're talking about the hustle and we're talking about, the success stories, and everything has really been revolved around the financial reward you get from having a side hustle that eventually turns into your main hustle. What we don't often talk about is the toll that becoming successful takes on your body, on your mind, on your spirit. And our guest today is an expert at helping people reclaim their health and reclaim, you know, and not just reclaim their health, but to put them in a position where they have more energy to pursue their hustle with more passion and more, you know, virtual and ready to go. So without further ado, I'll let you give your bio, Nick, and pitch your company and, you know, share your expertise with people that maybe have not taken into account what you need to do physically to shake off the toll that the stress will put on you when you're trying to create your own business.
And Nick, also, I also got some friends that are into physical fitness, and you know, they work a 9-to-5 job and they'd love to figure out a way to kind of transition from that 9-to-5 life into, you know, working with companies, working with people, helping people to be more physically fit, you know, without just going and working at like a, you know, LA Fitness or something. So, yeah, explain, you know, your background, where you came from, you know, what got you into this whole thing and you know, your side hustle.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, once again, I'm Nick. I work for a company called the Health and Wealth Blueprint. So it is me and a couple other coaches, and we help, basically the slogan is we help busy people lose weight. Our niche client is just the hard hustler, typically entrepreneurs, whether they be in real estate, MLM, like mortgage brokers, CPAs, people working the night shift. It's people that are just working different work hours, just absolutely grinding, putting everything first. And typically with these people, we see them putting their health last. So with that being said, the biggest thing that we typically see with people that are working super hard and just giving it their all is either they're not eating enough meals, they're eating way too much, just super sedentary life, the stress of it all, circadian rhythm, getting thrown off from lack of sleep, working long hours, waking up early, what have you. It is so circumstantial depending on the person, but we see the same problems across the board over and over and over again in just these hardworking entrepreneurs.
I'd be one of those entrepreneurs. I've had issues. Luckily I got a personal trainer who kicks my butt on Mondays and Fridays, and I've started making it a habit. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're in Northern Kentucky and the Brent Spence Bridge is closed right now, which is I-75 right through the heart of our city. And I usually take that to get over there. So now I have to go over to the east side to wrap around to get over to the west side. So I'm dedicated. I'm spending about it's like a half an hour to 45 minutes to get over there now. So I'm actually doing it. It's a one-on-one personal trainer. And then when he's not there training anybody, he just lets me use the gym. So I'll be the only person in there. It's not a big gym. It's his own, like, essentially personal gym. But it's really nice to have, like, a private gym to go to through this whole COVID epidemic that we've been having because, you know, a lot of people don't feel comfortable going to a big gym. And I'm sure you've dealt with some of that with clients where, you know, they can't get to the gym as often as they'd like. You know, there's only so many people that are allowed in the gym right now. And some of these gyms are just completely closed. So, you know, how has this whole pandemic situation affected your business and affected your clients' health?
So business has actually been booming. You are working with a trainer. A lot of people don't want to work hands-on. As long as we can give them that direction, people are super happy. So what we've seen across the board, basically, it's so crazy state by state, whether things are open or not. I do probably about 75% of my clients work out at home. So with that being said, I've also seen a bunch of equipment sales residentially. So I do about 50-50 coaching and equipment sales. I've been in the equipment sales job on the side of things for about 3 years, and I've been training for the last 7 or 8.
Oh, wow.
So I have my hand in a couple different portions of the industry.
That's actually really good because my wife's similar. She's an esthetician and she owns a spa. And about half of her business comes from the services she offers. And then the other half comes from products that she resells. So a lot of people don't think of that. When they think, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to perform this service, my side hustle is a service. They don't understand all the other upsell things that you could potentially have as part of your revenue. And you're saying yours is very similar to what my wife's is, where half of her business is coming from the services again, and then the other half is coming from products. And it sounds like that's exactly what you do. And now do you recommend products for people to go out and buy, or you're actually a reseller for a fitness line?
So I actually work for a dealer based out of Newark, Ohio. So we work with our own strength lines, and then we can also basically source from anywhere. I don't personally push my own stuff too much on my clientele. I just want them to get what works for them at basically whatever price they're able to pay for this equipment, and I want them to get it fast. So a lot of times with the commercial, the supply chain is so screwed up right
now. It's the worst. These microphones right here that you're looking at, it took me 4 months to get these microphones after I ordered them online.
Yeah. So you dealt with the same same situation. So yeah, that's a lot of times I'll just find something on Amazon and be like, yo, get this. This will suffice for now. If you want to work on your home gym, you and I can talk at another time, which I've had a couple people do. But just starting off, these people don't need anything crazy. They don't need barbells yet, just when they're working at home. So I typically recommend some inexpensive, just like click to change weight, or inexpensive small dumbbell bar where you add the plates to the sides, just because it's more than enough to get some killer freaking workouts. And the way that I actually program for my clientele that have to buy equipment for their home, I tried to program it so you're not going to be switching weights too often. The movements are going to translate that weight across the board.
Makes sense.
So without having all the equipment in a gym, it does narrow down our options on what we can do. It's all going to be a ton of free weight, body weight movements. You're not going to be necessarily having a ton of strength gains at home where you could in a gym, just because you legitimately have infinite weight to throw on your back or chest or legs. So from the different results that I've seen compared to what I've had at hand from in-person training one-on-one to even group strength training when I was on site working with people in the gym, the main difference is, yes, you make it a better workout in the gym with me there in person, because I'm right there telling you to work a little bit harder, telling you to do one more rep, helping you push through that last rep. However, you go home and I'm not watching what you're eating. I'm not worried about that necessarily. Like, my job ends after that hour mark when you walk out that door. So the big thing that we do with ours, with these people that are working out in the gym or at home, it basically, a ton of it just comes down to the nutritional aspect for these super busy people.
Makes sense.
As you expect.
That's a majority of it, though, is your nutrition. I mean, I know during COVID, I mean, I was killing it at the gym. I mean, I'm going to the rec center at UC and, you know, every other day at least, like, I mean, 4 to 6 days a week, I would say I was going. And taking care of my nutrition, mostly proteins, got rid of the sugar, got rid of a lot of the carbs, and things were going really, really good. Then COVID happened. Everything got screwed up, you know, and I didn't, I lost the discipline. I think it was because I got out of a routine. You know, once you get into those routines, if you change.
Routine's 99% of it.
It is.
You have to get up. And the worst part about it is once you get out of the routine, let's say you have super busy week, you have back-to-back meetings, or you just, you don't feel like you got the time to fit it in. Then all of a sudden you give it a week, 2 weeks, and then you get back in, and all of a sudden you are not anywhere near where you were when you stopped. Even if it's even worse, obviously, if you go longer, and then you're mentally defeated before you even start working out again, because the workout. So you sound like it's more of a circuit and complex type style for the home trainers that are contacting you on the internet, right? Because they don't have the heavy weights to do as much as you would like to do, where you need to 2 to 3 minutes between sets to recover. So they're doing more, I'm assuming, complexes where they can't put the dumbbells down, or supersets between different exercises. And you get to a point where, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you know, you're 8 weeks into training like this and you feel fantastic. Your cardio, your VO2 levels are through the roof. You feel like you could go and run a half marathon if you wanted to. And then something happens. You take 2 weeks off and you try to do the circuit again, and right where you left off, and you feel like, what in the hell did I do to myself?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're finding? I mean, is that the kind of the same complaint you get, Nick, when people are like, I was doing so good, or I used to be an athlete, now I can't do this? And it's like it's almost like you've got to coach them out of a defeatist mentality before you even start giving them exercises to perform?
Yes, 100%. So, 2 points on that. Yes. So people coming into it to begin with are absolutely rocked by even just a body weight workout. I have people that are going to the gym, hitting group classes, and they're like, yeah, with all of this crap going on, I just really want to make sure that I can stay and keep my family safer. I'm going to work out at home. So this is why I want to start the program. Even body weight, like, so very circumstantial on how the programming is, depending on the person. You're dead on with that. If somebody comes, whether they even been working or if they've been super sedentary and they start hitting these, they're like, God, I'm not what I used to be. Like, do I even want to do this uphill battle again? And then there's also the people that they go on vacation, because these people are making good money, entrepreneurs. They can take breaks if they want. Their company can still move without them sometimes. They come back and they're like, holy crap, dude, this is hard. Like, are you trying to kill me? You know, I was just on vacation for 2 weeks. Like, I don't know if I can do this. There's times a defeatist mentality on that. But what I do is, you always want to remind people of how far they have come and basically be like, dude, do you remember that first workout that you had? That was a body weight workout. You're complaining about using dumbbells right now. This workout would crush me. And I think it's just all basically just like a perspective in your mindset on the whole defeatist attitude. Just because, if you compare yesterday to 2 weeks from now, my 2 week progress is hopefully going to be way better than yesterday's. If you're not moving, yes, there will be some drop back, but after you build those muscle fibers, they come back super quickly. So a little bit of momentum, a little bit of, what word am I trying to use? A little bit of, I'll give a little push, a little motivating push. People pop right back to it and they understand that it's nothing to sweat.
Dude, I'll tell you this, body weight workouts absolutely suck. I would much rather lift barbell stuff or kettlebell stuff more than I would love. If I see a circuit with body weight involved, particularly if it's like a burpees or
involved. Oh, I hate burpees.
Forget it.
Yeah, I hate burpees.
And then like for Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I mean, you have to be very proficient when body weight exercise.
Well, even lunges. Sometimes lunges suck. You know, I mean, especially if you've been doing legs and then all of a sudden like you're closing it out with some lunges. I mean, that's, and you know, my trainer always gives me like 55-pound weights to go walk across the gym and lunge with, and I'm like, no, not the 55s.
Well, if we're having a class for jiu-jitsu, and I have certain guys walk in, and one of the guys that's in our gym is a fantastic fighter, and he's also ex-military, and when he comes in, you're like, this warm-up is going to be, it's going to be a workout. Because all it is body weight, like animal, the different types of animal walks, your crab walks, your, they call it the jacare, where you walk like an alligator and all this other stuff up and down the mat. And I'm like, just give me, like, I'll do squats. I'll do squats all day, I promise.
Well, the high intensity stuff, too. I mean, if you're just nonstop, you know, insanity workout style, you know, that can blow, too. Where, I mean, a lot of times you're using your body, you know, for those kind of things as well. And I think people struggle with that too.
Do you tailor your workouts to match, to complement work intensity? So what I mean by that, like if you know that your client is just doing waking up and starting work at 6 a.m. and they're not stopping till 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. Are you pretty much like, this is the program, we got to follow it the way I have it written, this is the only way you're going to get progress? Or are you more along the lines of, all right, you are stressing your central nervous system at work all day long. Maybe we need to scale back a little bit on the intensity of what I give you.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
Yeah, so that also is very dependent. So basically, some of the workouts that I'm scheduling are 15 minutes long. Some of them are an hour long. It depends on the person's availability. So that is one of the main questions that we ask at the start is, how long do you want to work out per day? Like, what can you comfortably fit in your schedule? Because with what you just said, people are super stressed out and they're like, I can't wrap my head around going to the gym or working out for 45 minutes. Like, let me just pump out my hard workout for 15, eat right, and call it a day. I will be happy with that. That's what we'll do. So every program is custom tailored to the person. I don't do any cookie cutter. Coach Megan doesn't do any cookie cutter. None of it is about that, just because everybody is very different. Regarding workload to the workout, I don't necessarily program for that unless someone tells me specifically so. So if somebody says, yeah, it is super stressful, I want to go through the motions and not necessarily put myself on the floor. Absolutely. I have people that do that and I have programs built around that. But typically a nice mental release of just going balls to the wall and working hard after a heavy day of basically the people that we work with, it's all typically mental. So if you can just do that de-stressor of throwing a slam ball, jumping up and down, lifting, I've heard that it's actually very rewarding and feels super good to get that release after a difficult day.
No, I say it,
it sounds counterintuitive, but I mean, you do Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Well, this is not as much as I used to, but yes, I try to. I'm terrible at it again. I wasn't good when I was going 4 to 5 days a week, but now that I'm doing 1 to 2 days a week, I'm basically the guy everybody wants to roll with. They're like, oh, great. Now I got an easy 5 minutes.
So the reason why I'm asking that, so it's like if you have a difficult day, so you're like kind of stressed, and sometimes you're like, oh, man, like I don't know if I want to do this. And then you get there and you go and you get some of that just like aggression and work. When you leave, like how do you typically feel? Like if you can just kind of think back as to how you feel after leaving typically.
Oh, you feel great. You feel like you can go home and just fall asleep and, you know, you take a shower, fall asleep, and you're going to have a good night's sleep, and you wake up and you feel refreshed. You're ready to go again.
Exactly. And so that's typically the same response that we receive from our clients, even if it's just a hellish day and you just release some of that aggression. Frickin', you hate burpees. Yeah, burpees suck. They're not fun, but there's something about kind of like getting that good push up. And then depending on your shape, if you're able to jump in the air and catch yourself on the ground and then jump up again, when you're finished, you're like, oh man, that's a terrible feeling. But like, I feel like I can take on the world right now.
Nice. So this industry, you know, a lot of our listeners are, you know, side hustle people. They're, you know, trying to figure something out, you know, beyond their 9-to-5 job that they can do to make a little extra money on the side. Some people are, you know, going beyond that and they're saying, you know, I don't want a 9-to-5 anymore. I want to be able to do my own business and I want to turn whatever side hustle I'm doing into my main hustle. And, you know, for the real estate people, that's pretty easy to do. I mean, in real estate, maybe you get 5 or 6 houses and it brings in enough income that, you know, you can quit that 9-to-5 and then move on to a new thing. And I just noticed in the fitness world, I feel like there is a lot of people out there who want to be in the fitness world. They get in the gym, they, you know, maybe they were high school football players or something and they know a little bit about fitness. You know, what makes you guys stand out from just everybody else out there? I just feel like there's a lot of people who get into it and then they disappear. They're not around after a couple of years. You know, I don't know what happens to them, but maybe they just decide they're just going to go take sales jobs or something at that point, you know, or they're going to do something else with their life. You know, what makes you guys stand out? What makes you unique in this whole world of physical fitness?
I would say it's a few different things. So first and foremost, it's 100% passion. In my experience, I mean, I was going to school to become a landscape architect. I have worked a mortgage job before. Every single time I come back to training, I've been in equipment sales for massive seller, Life Fitness and Hammer Strength. Now I work for a smaller one, but like no matter what, I always gravitate back to the training side just because I absolutely love it. And with that passion comes continuing my education, constantly reading up on things, researching, trying new things, building an actual network of people that know what they're talking about and also have that same passion is a big part of it, in my opinion, just because I like to be the person that has answers. But with that being said, if somebody asks me something and I don't know, I'm not just going to give them an answer just for the sake of having an answer. I can go and talk to my network. I constantly text one man named Scott Caulfield. He outstanding person, super, super intelligent. But I work with him constantly and he's extremely helpful with what I need because he is just like an absolute wealth of knowledge. It just basically comes down to what you're willing to put into it rather than just trying to get a paycheck out of it. And I think that my team and I and the owner of the company, Chad, just are literally pouring everything into this.
I feel like you need there's an additional motivation there. I think people that enjoy seeing their clients happy and enjoy seeing their clients, you know, lives change because of working with them, I think that could be a huge motivator for some people. And then, you know, if you're just not good at it, you're going to drop out because maybe that motivation isn't a thing for you because, you know, your clients don't feel a connection with you. I think that could be one of the big factors in your success clients feeling successful, you being a good motivator, I think, you know, that obviously helps. If you're not a good motivator or people don't feel, you know, that you know, they need you, that could be another issue.
I think his humility that's coming across on the screen, like we just met, and you seem, I mean, having gone to the commercial gyms since 98 or whatever, when I turned 18, a lot of the personal trainers that you see at those gyms are not humble. They lack a sense of, there's like a,
they're like the king of the gym. Well, they think they're awesome because they're the king of the gym.
Not just the king of the gym aspect of it, but it seems like they're lacking some self-confidence, and they're making up for it. And this is like their place, like now being king of the gym, where they can cover up some self-doubt by, you know, being a little bit bigger than the average guy and being able to take all these, particularly if it's a pretty girl, and take them through the workouts. And it's more of a social status.
It's almost like the guy that peaked in high school.
Kind of, yeah.
The gym is his, like, extension to his success. Like, but then he leaves the gym and he's a nobody again.
But then you've got great trainers. And Nick's that are humble and they listen to their clients and they have lifetime clients. And it's not about, like, leaving them in a pool of sweat. It's giving them what they need. And that takes humility. And Nick has, it sounds like he has the humility where it's like, I know how to kill this person. And I know how to probably make the results faster. But in 8 weeks, they're not going to be able to come back. Or they're not going to do that. He seems like it's more along the lines of, I want to make this person healthier for the long run. And that takes a lot of stepping back. And I think that's pretty cool. Like, at least that's from how you explain yourself and how you appear here. It seems like that's the kind of trainer that most people are going to relate to and most people are going to stick with for a much longer period of time.
Yeah, I think there's that. I also think, you know, technology has changed the game a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to have, you know, older trainers that are going to struggle potentially. I mean, because there's a time limit to this career, I would imagine. I mean, I think, you know, younger trainers are going to be, you know, a little more energetic. They're going to be in really good shape compared to potentially an older trainer who may move on and do something else. Like, they may be the person who starts the company, though. You know, they have all this knowledge that they've gained, but they're not the one who's got the energy to get out there and do, you know, roll around and do all the tough workouts they used to do when they were younger. Plus, they may be a little resistant to change, where a younger personal trainer in this industry may see opportunities to use certain technologies to make it easier for their clients to maintain. So if I was to say, get on a text messaging service or something, and I, every day at 11:30, I could shoot an auto text to one of my clients and say, hey, what are you eating today? You know, make sure you don't go to Burger King again or whatever. You know, don't get those large fries. Like, if you're going to go to Burger King, take the bun off or whatever, you know. Like, it, you know, people need somebody who's going to be in their face, not just for a half an hour or an hour during their workout or whatever, but it's almost like you have to connect with that person outside of that hour, right? And technology may be a solution for that. Nick, have you seen any changes maybe over to, you know, while you've been doing this, where technology has come in handy for you or for your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So we use two apps to directly monitor and work with our clients. Besides just normal text messages and calls and such, we use MyFitnessPal to actually monitor, set calorie ranges, set macro limits, and we monitor what they're eating basically by checking out their food diary. We keep that accountability. Yeah. Dude, you're a little low yesterday. This is your third day in a row being low. You don't want to slow down your metabolism. Let's get back to those ranges that we discussed. And it's like almost big brothery at a point, in my opinion. But
well, people should be used to big brother at this point after yeah, COVID.
Exactly. But it's so incredibly helpful. I'm actually having way better results, not in person, than I had in person, just for that matter. We also use another app that we've actually customized to the company, but it was originally called Trainerize. So this is an amazing app that we use. Basically, I describe it as our hub. You can sync tons of different technologies to it. So if you're wearing like wearable tech, you can sync that directly to TrainerEyes. You can sync your MyFitnessPal account to TrainerEyes and tons of other pieces of technology. So with that, you get tons of body stats. You can even sync your freaking scale to it if you have like a Bluetooth scale.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's amazing. It takes all your body stats, automatically uploads it into there, records basically as you're doing your workout, you're inputting your reps and weight and such. And so over time, I'm able to run reports and export that to an Excel document and be like, all right, so this is where we were a month ago. This is where we are here. Like, you're doing more weight, more reps. Like, this is solid progress. So with that, it adds a whole nother metric of progress compared to just the scale, which so many people focus on.
Well, what about like smartwatches and things like that? Are there any integrations with that kind of stuff? Or is that, yep. Have you found that helpful?
Yes and no. So there's so many variables when it comes to that. It's almost hard to differentiate what good data is and what bad data is. I'll have people being looking like, hey, I only burned 150 calories this workout. The last workout we burned 800. Like, what's the difference? Why? Like, I like the other workout more. And then that actually requires me explaining, well, this workout we lifted more, so you're not going to be burning as many calories, but in the long-term effect, you're going to overall burn more calories as your muscles are then being rebuilt.
Because the more muscle you have, the easier, like the higher your metabolism, right? Isn't that something?
Essentially, yeah. You have more, basically, you're a bigger truck burning more fuel.
Gotcha.
That's all it is. So if you don't have the knowledge base behind it, it may add a confusing aspect to it all. So if I just have an Apple Watch and I'm doing workouts willy nilly, cardio king, hopping on the treadmill, and then I decide to lift weights and I'm like, all right, I'm going to try lifting weights for the first time. And then I'm going to compare what my calorie burn is between the two. And this will be the differentiated watches to work out from now on. I know that's not a perfect scenario, but if somebody were to look at the data just provided by their watch, they'd say, okay, cardio is a superior workout.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
And that is not true.
It doesn't take into account. I mean, it measures the output for that workout. It doesn't take into account the output your body's going to go through to repair your muscle fibers and all that other stuff that goes along.
Exactly. Increasing bone training. Density, increasing muscle density, adding muscle fiber.
And all that takes calories. It
takes a lot of energy to build fat or to build muscle.
To build muscle, yeah. What kind of nutrition do you generally recommend? I mean, I feel like there's the fitness world is a lot more popular in America just because our diets are so bad. We walk a lot less, especially in places like Cincinnati where you can just drive everywhere. You know, New York, everybody's out walking all the time. You know, LA, people probably walk a lot too. Or there's an outdoor kind of thing. People are on the beach, they're getting exercise that way. They're at least active. Where here it gets cold, people just drive everywhere. You know, they don't want to be in the cold. They just leave the house, jump in the car, drive wherever they got to go. So what kind of issues do you see with folks at different age groups that you work with, and what do you recommend for those different groups as far as nutrition and supplements?
Culture also throws kind of a wrench into the situation, just because if you culturally eat more rice, you will have to have a higher carb nutrition plan than I would typically do, just because sustainability is the biggest thing for all of this. If I'm creating a situation that is unsustainable, like, yeah, you're going to lose weight now, you're going to lose weight during the program, and as soon as it stops due to you can't sustain it, you're going to revert and you're going to gain all of it back. So what I try to do for everybody, obviously circumstantial, I prefer to put everybody on a lower carb nutrition plan only for one reason. It's super easy to destroy a bunch of carbs. They are delicious. I don't have anything against carbohydrates by any means. I destroy pasta. I love to work out. I'm very healthy. In my mind,
I love Skyline. I could go to Skyline and then Graders and then Starbucks after.
Yeah. So exactly. Cause carbs are delicious. But when I put people on a lower carb nutrition plan, it's in the back of their head that they need to eat less carbs. And so they don't typically go as overboard as they would. But with that being said, the majority of my people that I work with are people trying to lose weight. And it has just been a very helpful plan to use just a low carb, higher protein diet.
So do you ever recommend that, you know, where I was on that keto thing and it said, go to Wendy's and get a triple with no bun. And it's just straight meat. And I tried that keto thing for a while and it was just like, it wasn't working for me. I thought it would work really well. I'm like, burgers. I love burgers. Right. But it was like, you can only do it for like a week. And then you're like, man, I need something else. You know, I guess everything in moderation, right?
So I'm super against any fad diet. Just everyone that you hear, it doesn't necessarily make sense. If it's hard to do, you're not going to do it in the long term. Like,
yeah,
why would you make eating difficult for yourself? And I've had people argue like, oh yeah, you can get close to your calorie ranges, no problem, before exhausting your carb limit for keto. So it's like, all right, so how do you hit your calorie limit? It's super restrictive. If I eat my 30 grams of carbs in my first two meals of the day, then I have to be extremely restrictive for the rest of the day. So I don't support keto by any means. I think it could be a good way to initially lose weight. However, you have to have a good mindset to understand that it is not something that you're probably going to keep up. And you should have a plan B as to where you want to go nutritionally after you hit your goal, if you decide to use keto to begin with.
So maybe drop, you know, your 10% or whatever that you were trying to do, whatever you were trying to hit, 10 pounds, 15 pounds, whatever that is, with the keto. And then once you get past that, now it's time to get on a, you know, more balanced diet, but low carb is kind of what it sounds like you suggest. Like, hey, look, go out there, but be more cognizant of what you're eating and try to reduce the carbs as much as possible.
Yes and no. So once again, carbs are not an enemy by any means.
Bad carbs.
It's all calories in, calories out. It's just easy to eat a ton of carbs, in my opinion.
Mm.
So that's why I choose the lower carb diet. But by no means are carbs bad. 1 gram of carbohydrates and 1 gram of protein have the same amount of calories. Each one is 4 calories. Essentially, you could say the same about protein, but it doesn't work like that. So carbs are your fuel for the day. I don't want to limit your fuel necessarily. So if it's too low, I think that you're going to be lacking. You're going to feel sluggish. Maybe when you're to the point of your body's basically adapted out of that, you're going to be able to feel fine during the day. But carbs are not the enemy by any means.
So
protein is what you're going to use to build your muscles. This is basically has the amino acids, the building blocks for building muscle. And then fats are just basically the rest. Those are the rest of the macronutrients. But when I'm doing these nutrition plans, I always I'm trying to just make this clear because I always hammer it in and I have people legitimately argue with me.
Wow.
My clients will. Just carbs are not bad. I just want to make sure that you are eating within a range that's going to keep you at a deficit if you're trying to lose weight. And if you're eating within that calorie range, you will lose weight. Unless there's a bunch of other factors going on in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my favorite nutrient has 7 grams.
What's that?
It's alcohol. But it's got a thermic effect. So in reality, the body burns it faster and it makes the body burn and use energy to get the poison out of your bloodstream. So it's really right around like 3 or 4 calories per gram overall. It's like eating carbohydrates and you reduce the you deduct the fiber content from it. And you're like, oh, I had 100 grams of carbs today, but 25 grams of that was from fiber. So I could eat 25 more grams of sugar if I want to.
So outside of alcohol, for the busy, you know, busy person, they, you know, our listeners, the people who are working, you know, maybe a 9-to-5 job and they've got a little side hustle going and, you know, they're up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. What would you suggest would be a good like go to? I know in the past I've, you know, I wanted to keep some snacks around, right? I don't want to snack on Pringles and, you know, Snyder's of Hanover pretzels like I normally do. Like, what's a good kind of snack to keep around? I've heard a lot of people say, like, nuts are really good, you know, almonds, things like that. Like, what's a good...
His eyes just lit up because, like, they're good for you, but you can... You want to talk about adding calories to your diet really fast?
Almonds?
Dude, yeah, like, if you take a couple handfuls of that while you're watching a show or something, and then you take another couple handfuls and another couple of handfuls, you just put in like 300, 400 calories without even knowing what you did to yourself.
Wow.
Am I right?
Yeah, they're amazing energy sources. So that's why they're trail mix.
Yeah. So what would you say would be a good kind of snack for people, for the busy person who you don't want them going to a fast food place, right? Like, they may have ate breakfast at the house or whatever, and, you know, they're thinking about going to McDonald's for lunch or whatever. But is there something that, you know, they could be snacking on throughout the day that are going to kind of curb those desires to go eat fast food?
Yeah. So I'm going to give you my answer to that, and then I'm going to just quickly say my whole background on, like, how I think the easiest way to eat is. So some of my go-tos that I have are, if I want something like salty and crunchy, I get those veggie chips. You can eat like 40 of them for one serving. So that is amazing. And I think it's only like 180 calories. I love cottage cheese, and it's super satisfying. It craves your hunger, and it keeps you full.
Yeah, I like cottage cheese. I keep forgetting about cottage cheese. I don't keep it in the house, but it's like, because my wife isn't a big cottage cheese person, but I used to eat cottage cheese a lot. I heard it was like actually a really good like workout thing. I mean, it's high in protein.
There's the
super high in casein protein, which is the slow digesting protein.
You know,
high in sodium.
A good casein protein, well, heavier casein protein snack at night that I like to have for dessert is I like to take UMP by Beverly and their Rocky Road, and then put some heavy whipping cream in there and like make it so it's real thick. It's like a pudding taste. And if it's like having a mousse or a chocolate mousse or something like that, that's
going to say, it sounds like mousse, man.
Yeah. It's like knocked. And then, I mean, it knocks out a lot of that. I need to have ice cream or anything like that out of your diet. I'm still fat, but
UMP. But yeah, some other little snacks though, that I do like to eat. It's peanut butter on the little rice cakes. The rice cakes are essentially nothing when you look at the nutrition facts. So it's just another way to shove peanut butter into your face. I'm huge on, I think the protein shakes that I make actually taste good. Once again, I throw some peanut butter, half a banana in, and some ice, and it's like you're legitimately drinking a milkshake. But no, just like easy things to eat. I would say Greek yogurt and a healthier granola, because granola can have a ton of sugar. Just be aware of that. And that is also great for craving any like sweet tooth. And then maybe last but not least is I eat a lot of fruit. I know it's high in carbs, but also super high in fiber, as long as you're not skipping the fruit part and you're just going to the juice. So probably my go-to snack, I eat one on my way to the gym, is just an apple.
Okay. Yeah, I like blueberries. They're easy to eat. I like them. You know, throw a handful of them in your mouth or whatever. You got some sugar in there.
They're low glycemic.
Yeah. They're good for you. So they're a superfood too. So, and I can't keep any bananas in the house, even though I need them for potassium. But my wife hates bananas, hates the smell of them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, despises them. And I love bananas. Like, when I was a kid, my mom used to drive me around the grocery cart. I would just eat the bananas before she got to the checkout. So, yeah, I just love them. They're so good. But
so we're coming up on our time here closely. I want you to be able to, I mean, we've done a lot of success stories here, and I was hoping if you could share like what entrepreneurs have said to you about how much it's made them, how much your programs benefited them in terms of productivity, just mental clarity, mental outlook, like just give people here the idea, you know, the understanding of what and how important it is that they take care of their body to produce the income that they want to produce.
Yeah, man, that's great. So across the board, no matter what occupation that we've worked with, everybody that has had success with health and fitness has just spoken so highly of the results. People are having more energy during the day. They're able to do just simple tasks of kneeling down, getting up, that you may or may not be able to do as you get older and out of shape. But energy is probably the biggest one that we hear. People stop needing to drink coffee. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds cliche.
Man, we're both drinking coffee right now. Man, we're old.
Yeah, I love coffee. But people have told me it's like, it's crazy as to how people go from eating badly and being sedentary of how it just crashes your body and you need 2-3 cups during the day to not needing any at all. Since we do work with a lot of real estate agents, people have been saying that, I know this sounds super vain, but just their boost in confidence because of their self-image has skyrocketed. They just feel like they are doing so much better, actually just being able to talk to people and carrying themselves. And then actually plus a funny added perk to this one is I had a guy tell me that he enjoys not being the fat guy going up the stairs in front of people because no one wants to walk up the stairs behind a fat guy.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, and as much as we want to do the body positivity thing, and we want to make people feel good about the way they're built, you know, people discriminate, you know, and you may not even, you know, think this in your head. This is just something that is just natural. You know, this person is going to be better for me. This person is going to sell my house faster. This person is just, and it's unfortunate that that's how humanity is, but people discriminate against people who aren't in shape when it comes to business. I mean, it's just what it is. Look at almost any salesperson. Look at these, all the reps that I ever knew that sold pharmaceuticals back in the day. Every one of them was a hot girl or a former athlete that went into these doctor offices. And these are doctors, you know, they have to go and sell things to doctors. And the doctors are the one, you know, the doctors, they knew they would discriminate. So they're bringing in these attractive people to sell pharmaceuticals. And it's just the way it is. I mean, and when you feel healthy, when you look healthy, everything changes. Your attitude changes, all this stuff. So no matter what, all this body positivity and stuff, I feel like a lot of these people, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I feel good. I don't care what people say about me. Inside, they do care. Like inside, they still care. They still want to be in shape. They still want to be attractive. They still want people to look at them like they're healthy people.
Well, the greatest football player of all time, in my opinion, I never saw Jim Brown, but Jerry Rice is famous for being very vain about his uniform. If his towel wasn't like where he thought it should be on his pants off his belt, he would trim it a little bit before a game. He would tuck in his shirt a certain way. He would have the equipment guy before tight jerseys were in. He would have him fit it a certain way because he said, if I look good, I'm going to play good. Because it's all about that mentality. Is if I look like a superstar, I'm going to perform like a superstar. And a lot of that, because I mean, I've been there. I was always a fat kid growing up, and then when I went to switch positions in college, and I had to lose 45 pounds to switch the positions, and I did it the right way, and I looked fantastic for about 3 weeks, and then I got hurt. I got hurt during the summer, and then I went back to drinking and partying. But for those 3 weeks, I felt great. I was like, you couldn't wait to take your shirt off. It's like, yeah, I finally look like I'm supposed to naturally look.
You're walking around Kroger with no shirt on, a pack of hummus.
You're happier. You know, you're happier, and you have this. Once you lose that self doubt about your physical appearance, and people say they don't have it and they're full of shit because
you can focus on other things. If you lack self confidence in your physical appearance, you're afraid to go places. Right. You're afraid to take your shirt off at the pool. Like that stuff, like you got to focus on that when you should be focusing on other things. Well, focusing on your family,
That stuff weighs you down. Like even if it's not like an albatross around your neck, it still doesn't let you perform at your optimal level, whatever your performance is, whether it's sales, whether it's in management, whether it's a daycare instructor. I mean, it's just like, you can tell that a part of a person's unhappiness is how they come across.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's not even just your physical appearance. I mean, it's not even just your weight. It could also be, you know, the way you dress, the way you speak. It
could be how you feel in your stomach because you feel like crap because a lot of that stuff, I mean, you know, Nick, they're learning every year they're learning more and more about the microbes in your stomach,
in your gut, yeah,
and your gut health and how it you know relates to your brain and your hormones. And a lot of the people are unhappy because they literally don't feel good. Mm-hmm. But they don't know any better because they've always eaten a certain way.
Or it's a slow thing. It's like overnight all of a sudden you feel bad. Like this is something that builds up over time.
And for the record, I'm still fat. So
yeah, so
I'm not happy with the way I look.
Yeah.
Actually there is one interesting stat to that. So research has shown that people in the same position compared between healthy weight to an unhealthy weight, people in a healthier weight make 9% more money.
Oh, wow.
Is that from production or is that just from all?
It could be from production. It could just be having higher energy and being able to just be a better producer. But it's a stat nonetheless where if you are in better shape, you're going to make more money than you would if you were out of shape.
You're going to miss less work. I mean, on average, you're going to have a better immune system. So there's going to be less time at home.
Something to do with it. Also, people who are taller make more money. So generally, like if you look at the CEOs of the world, a lot of them are tall, 6'2", 6'3". And if you can't do anything about your height, you could do something about your weight. You know, I mean, it's not like you can just decide one day that you're going to work out and grow 5 inches taller. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And the thing that sucks about talking about this is it sounds like we're slamming people, but we're not pointing out anybody, any person indirectly. It's just
the reality of life.
There are stats and studies that show this. I mean, fair or unfair, it is what it is. So, you know, we're a side hustle group here. We want to have successful businesses. This is part of it.
You
can hustle, but you also got to take care of yourself because there are those, you know, you got one chance to make a first impression, you know, like that. A lot of these things play into people's minds
and they do.
You just got to cover all your bases.
So Nick, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how do they do that? Or do they find out more information? Yeah.
Facebook's our main platform, the Health and Wealth Blueprint. And basically you can find me on Facebook. I am one of two Nick Vassats. The other one's my cousin, but
either way, they'll find you.
Exactly. You'll find me. You have a 50-50 chance of choosing the right one. But yeah, Health and Wealth Blueprint. If you're interested in working with us, we have about an 88 to 90% success rate with every client that we have. I feel extremely confident in what we do. I think all of the coaches have great integrity and we truly care about how our clients feel and the results that they receive.
Awesome. All right, Nick. Well, we really appreciate your time today. Hopefully this is helpful for some people that are listening and out here hustling and, you know, need to feel better about themselves.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate having me on here.
Thanks for coming on, Nick.
All right, Nick. See you later.
See ya.